You're listening to The S2 Show, a podcast where you can listen, learn, and be inspired by professionals. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Stephanie Saunders. On The S2 Show, I interview some of the world's number one experts. My goal is to help you by giving you a glimpse inside the climb to their success and give you a sneak peek into our guests' behind-the-scenes stories to help shed light on the journey. After each episode, you should have actionable steps to apply on your road to building your empire. Expect to hear from real estate moguls, founders, CEOs, authors, and influencers. Let's get started.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay, so I'm really excited that we're doing this. People know about what goes on in the world for women. You know, we're really talking a lot about Me Too right now, and I'm not comparing your story to Me Too, but I think if you can expand upon where you started, I think it would be really cool to like pick up when you got to Dubai.
Well, I started my journey in Dubai.
Right.
And that when I was 18 years old, mm-hmm. I left my country to go to Dubai to bring my vision to reality.
Right.
I left school. I went to Dubai and I was looking
from Morocco. Right.
From Morocco for an investor with no business idea. I just went there and trying to explore my options.
Right.
And then I met someone and I convinced them. I was looking what I could do. Then I had the idea of a beauty center because a man can invest or can be in a beauty center in Dubai.
Really?
It's women giving services to other women.
So a man can't even be involved. Can they be an investor though?
Yes, they can invest. And you need one because you're going to need a sponsor to have a beauty center or any type of business.
So to have a business in Dubai,
you need a sponsor.
You need, and it has to be a man.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
It could be a man or a woman, but more known men sponsors.
Got it. Sure.
Yeah. So I convinced someone to invest and I'll do the management. And I did open my first business. I was 18. All my staff were like 20s. Only one was 27, then 30s, 40s, 50s. Had no idea, you know, how to do management, or I used to get like mad at them, you know, like at the boss, I would just want to give them because I don't know how it works. So I had to go through a lot of trainings with them just for me to understand the business because I've never been a stylist or a hairdresser. Or, you know, we had like one-stop shop, you know, from A to Z. It's not like here you have a hair place or nails place. No, this one has everything. So I convinced a person to invest and I'll do the management, but I wanted to be a partner. I didn't have the money to, but I could, you know, work and, you know, and I had to give 5 years of my time, you know, not traveling, not doing anything. Just focusing in business. And I grew the business. We opened the second branch next year.
That's amazing. At 18.
9 years.
That's crazy.
Yes. During 2008, the crisis, everyone was shutting down.
And you were growing.
You could not.
That's crazy.
That's why we pushed. And,
And so all the locations were in Dubai?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the UAE. So Dubai, there's a Sharjah, Dubai.
Yeah. So it's interesting to me is that you grew up in Morocco.
Yes.
And you ended up leaving Morocco to go then to Dubai, which to you was a freer place. And so as an American, I think of Dubai as a place that's more difficult for women. So it's interesting. So tell me about your upbringing in Morocco.
So I grew up with four brothers. I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
You know, so...
What was that like, having all the boys?
I was like a boy, you know.
Yeah, you have to be.
I had a motorcycle to
no
steal
way.
My father's car, yeah.
Okay.
I was not an easy.
Yeah, that's great. Easy. That teaches you how to kind of be, you know, tough, right?
A
little tomboy attitude.
I had that too.
Yeah.
I was one. And then I, so I just think me, you know, reading, I used to read a lot, still read a lot.
Yeah.
So books helped me so much. I found this guy that called Ibrahim Al-Faqi. He's okay. Egyptian. He just passed away a few years ago. And he had these books that talks about energy and, you know, and he kind of brought the religion to the books, you know.
Right.
And this is what we read now about spirituality and energy and all that. And the law of attraction. So I started reading, you know, books, and I had the vision. I love Donald Trump then too.
It was funny.
Yeah.
What a controversial person to love then. How old were you?
Yeah, I was like 15.
Okay.
Yeah, 15, 16. So, and I developed this vision. I always thought I was different than my friends. You know, I didn't have the same, you know, like common, you know, attraction to, you know, stuff that girls, you know, are attracted to. So I developed a vision, and I thought that it was not possible to do it in Morocco growing up, seeing
grow a business. You
know, my mom, and I didn't have the tools to do that. So I decided to leave Morocco, and it was not easy. I could not go to Dubai straight. I had to pass by Tunisia. I had to trick.
Wow.
Why do you think
that is? Like, growing up in Morocco, I know you know many languages. Like, is the primary language is French?
It's Moroccan.
Secondary.
Arabic. So Moroccan is different than Arabic. So
right. Okay.
We speak Moroccan. We use Arabic in school. Then we learn French.
Right.
And then in high school, you get to use if you want to learn English, Spanish, or Italian.
So it's either or. It's either English, Spanish, or Italian. And you chose English?
Yes, I chose English.
Why? Because did you want to go to the U.S. or you felt it was more primary?
Well, U.S. then it was not an option for me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to. I was watching, you know, some novellas. But it was not an option.
Why was it not an option? Do you mean to go to the U.S.?
Yes. You know, Dubai was the closest option to me because for me, like, applying for a visa, I'm a student. My dad wouldn't allow me, you know. I had to go to Dubai without my dad's permission.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Was he mad?
So mad. But then I made him proud after that.
I'm sure. Yeah. But I think it's interesting that people don't know enough about what happens in other countries, especially when, like, I don't understand how no one gets why the people want to be in the U.S. Like, you think, like, we take it for granted being Americans, you know what I mean? And then we don't understand the struggle to get out of a country.
Yes, it's, you know, to Americans are, you know, have things easier than we do.
Right.
Because people in my country, they go through a lot to apply for a visa.
Right.
So when I went to Dubai, I had my businesses, you know, and then I bought the person, like the partner, I bought him out. Mm-hmm. So I was the only, you know, he didn't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And then it was easy for me to apply for visas. You know, I got, you know, all the visas I needed.
Because you were in business?
Yes.
Right.
You know, but because not everyone was, you know.
Yeah.
Fortunate to do so. So a lot of people could not travel, or, you know, they could go to Dubai because it's easier. But for me, Dubai was just a start.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after Dubai?
After 9 years in the same business, well, after the fifth year, I moved to London for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was back and forth. After 9 years, I was here, not here, in Beverly Hills, and I just loved it.
I love LA.
Yeah. I wanted to come back.
Yeah.
I wanted to come back. So I went back. Mm-hmm. I sold all my business for 9 years. That was my baby, you know.
Oh.
And I brought the money to the States. And I was the first. I opened a store on Rodeo Drive. And it was like the first North African Arab to have a store on Rodeo Drive.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's really, really
and
cool.
That was a big deal for me.
Right, and you were in the papers.
I was in Morocco and all over the newspaper. I was in Los Angeles News, then it was just, you know, in Morocco. I was invited to interviews in Lebanon. I got an award.
That's very cool.
Called El Afdal, which is the best, you know, of the year. And I was in Moroccan TV, you know, like I was just having interviews right and left. And that was a very big you know, opportunity.
Accomplishment, yeah. How did your friends react? Especially your women friends back in Morocco.
You know, you'd be surprised. I don't have bad, you know, friends from back home.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe they weren't super, people you knew weren't super happy. Because it's a little bit of jealousy, which happens.
I actually did not have any friends back home. Like, wow. None. Because, you know, the friends I grew up with, I didn't have like best friends because I had one, I remember, but then we grew apart. Yeah. I was just, you know, I was not interested in things that they were interested in. So I did not just accept my family. Mm-hmm. Well, I have family members that I didn't see for years. They were reaching out to my mom, my uncles, you know, everyone. But yeah, I did not have any.
Okay. Was your family happy?
Oh, super happy. Yeah. They were so proud of me. So, actually, they were proud when I was in Dubai too, because I did great with the business there.
So what was the store on Rodeo Drive?
It was a clothing store.
And it was your brand?
It was my own brand.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I had a partner and he used to be a personal stylist for celebrities. So I invested, you know, and he's supposed to work, and I put the money, you know, because I'm not going to be able to.
Right. So he was the designer.
He was the, well, we were both ideas, but he was the one that, you know, more in the field than I did. Even though I went on to a fashion course, you know, in Paris, and that's where I met him. But just think, you know, things went wrong after that.
Yeah. It's hard to get into business with people you know. You were friends with him?
He was my stylist when I went to LA, and then we developed a friendship.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now he's known. He's, you know, he has his own store. We're friends again, you know.
That's good. Yeah. Good. You were able to get past.
Yeah, I did. And then I opened another store on Camden Drive, the street right behind the big one. And then I let that go.
You lost everything, right? So tell me about that. You're so young, and you to have started and lost everything already, and all the adversity along the way. How did you lose everything? Just bad partnerships.
Bad partnerships. I put everything I had, you know, and I'm a risk taker. I do take risks,
right?
And I know the bigger the risk, the bigger the, you know,
the reward, but also possibly the end of it all. But
yeah, but if you don't risk it, then how do you know?
That's the lesson, right?
Yeah, that's the lesson. Yeah. Live and learn. So yeah, I lost everything. And it took me a few months to find, you know, another business. I love developing businesses because it's just in me, you know? Mm-hmm. But then after a certain time, I always, you know, think that I have more potential than that. Mm-hmm. So maybe I want to do something more, something bigger.
Right.
And that's when I opened the concierge company.
Right. Which is what you're doing now.
Now I have companies.
And you've been doing
one of the main ones.
The concierge you've been doing for how long now?
I've been doing it for almost 4 years.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. And what do you guys do? It's mainly travel, like luxury style, or is it everything?
So we are members only. You know, members based only. So the members get to have like good discounts. Mm-hmm. We do everything from private jets to yachts, cars, events, planning.
Right.
We have a social club where we bring people together if there's any potential synergies there. But you have to be a member, and we only do luxury.
Right. Consumers. That's great. Yeah. And do you think that maybe your experience, so being all over the world and doing what you've done so far, has led you to be like an expert in this luxury concierge business?
Well, before I opened the concierge company, I traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. When I say a lot, I went almost all over the world.
Right.
You know, I did not finish it.
Yeah.
I traveled the most, you know, common destinations. Right. Mm-hmm. I developed a lot of relationships, you know, working, traveling throughout these years. And then I came up with the idea to just like help people, you know, from my expertise, because I love luxury.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
So, and now you're in Miami, and now this is what you're doing. here.
Yeah, that's my main one.
Okay.
I'm in tech too, you know. I know my
yes. You're a little bit of an entrepreneur in the tech world. I love it. That's like how we really, I loved hearing that story. Are you still pitching ideas?
Yes, we're actually on investors phase now.
Yes. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So we'll have to have a little conversation about that when it comes live next.
Yes, that's something that's like a new baby. Then I have the PR company.
And the PR is what? It's general PR, like everything in the US. Is it global?
Is it, you know, we started in the US and now we're covering, you know, kind of, you know, a little bit of the Middle East, a little bit of Asia, India.
Nice.
So just working, you know, being in business and being an entrepreneur, I found out that PR is something very important, you know.
Very important. Especially now.
Yeah.
Because it's all about SEO. It's all about having your story told, because you could have all these cool things going on and have them not listed anywhere.
And no one
and
knows
then
about
no one
you.
Knows about them. No one knows about you. No one knows about anything. And other people are doing this. So they're the ones getting recognition.
Exactly. So we work with businesses, you know, we grow businesses. We take them from point A to B by doing, you know, press releases,
nice.
You know, doing, helping them with our relationships, you
right.
know, to we cover so much. That's a
yeah.
That's a, you know, a very big
yeah
umbrella that we could.
How know. Do we tell people about getting in touch with you for the PR services?
Through the website.
Okay.
Called Disruptive PR.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that name.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Disruptive.
Disruptive.
And
PR.
Then what about the concierge service?
Maison Mage, yeah, it's on, you know, the Google Maison Mage. Is on
okay,
there.
We'll drop them everywhere. In the show notes so that everybody can find you. Mm-hmm. And how about you? How do they find you?
I'm here.
So what platform do you use the most?
I use Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So let me, talking about PR, I did a big mistake, huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I did in the past. I was off social media for 2 years and a half, right after all that exposure, the stores. And
right.
Things.
So you got all this big publicity and then you went off social
yeah,
media.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Personal? Like you wanted to be private?
I was in a relationship and you know.
Right. Sometimes life makes us feel like we need to not share, but it's not a good idea, especially when you're in business.
Yeah. Well, No, I paid the price for that because I had to start over, but I wouldn't do it again.
No, you can't.
No.
I mean, it's awkward. It's uncomfortable to like put yourself out there, but you really have to.
Yeah.
You have to just stay relevant and doing PR.
It's very important, you know, like
yeah.
the PR takes you where you want to go. If you
yeah.
don't have no PR again,
right.
no one knows about you
right.
and you don't do business, you don't make money,
right.
you know?
So where are you on social media now? Instagram,
Instagram. Yeah.
Okay,
so I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram.
Yeah,
I know LinkedIn is your favorite.
Yes, LinkedIn is my favorite. Wow, I love you, LinkedIn. So we'll have to tag your Instagram and your LinkedIn, and if anyone has any PR or concierge needs, then they're going to reach out to you.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me.